ready to get serious about building content sites and building a profitable business online? Welcome to the Niche Website Builders Podcast. We bring you the latest field-tested tips, tricks, and strategies for building a profitable online asset. We interview industry experts, share customer success stories, and reveal our own experiences working on hundreds of sites to inspire and motivate you to make something happen. Let's do this.
Welcome back to the Niche Website Builder Show. If this is your first time and I'm not welcoming you back, where have you been? We have around 30 odd podcasts now that you've missed out on that you can go back and look in the archives and find. We've got lots of great podcasts with some people who are really strong and influential in the space, some awesome content publishers, some great affiliate marketers, and the occasional bit of advice from Adam and I as well. And that's what this podcast is going to be today. So today, Adam and I are going to be talking about the Google product review algorithm update and kind of our spin on what the guidelines that Google have given us and how we are using that internally with our content writing team at Niche Website Builders. So hopefully it's going to be a really kind of actionable and interesting and useful kind of show that, you know, you can take away and start thinking a little bit more about, you know, when creating product reviews for your own site and how they should be structured and what should be included. So we've also included this as a download. So you can go ahead and download this as a PDF. So you can kind of get a little bit more detail than provided just through word of mouth in this podcast. So if you go head over to nichewebsite.builders/resources, and you'll find the downloadable there. We've got a couple of others in there, which are how to improve your RPM or EPMV if you have an ad site. So some tips on how to do that without, you know, doing any additional work, creating more content. You know, there's some really good quick wins in there. And as Adam mentions in the show, you know, he followed, you know, it's pretty much the strategy he took to flip a site and make about an $18,000 profit in around 38, 39 days. If you're running ads on your site, I think that'd be really useful. And some like real quick tips, something that you can just do, you know, if you've got a spare hour here, then you can make some really good changes that could have a good impact on your site. And the other one is how to do due diligence on expired domains. So we cover in pretty good detail and how we go about doing that for Niche Website Builders as well, and we cover that in a downloadable document as well. So if any of them sound interesting to you, head over to nichewebsite.builders/resources and you can go and download them there. Also quickly mention that we're really kind of ramping up the number of expired domains now that we're managing to acquire, you know, you can go ahead and find them at nichewebsite.builders/domains, and we've got a bunch of really good ones coming up. So just to give you kind of an idea of ones that are coming up shortly, so there's one around horses which actually just went out today, so you may be too late, but it may be still there if you're quick. We've got a wine one, we've got one for dogs, also one for marriage advice. It's called marriagegems.com. I think that's got lots of potential for informational content. Also sign language one. So it's called signstation.org. That one really has kind of lots of opportunity as well for informational kind of content and, you know, video content too, if you wanted to stretch out to that further down the road. Also for DJ domain as well. That domain is called spinbad.com, which was a DJ. Unfortunately, he passed away last year, but his domain is now available and has lots of sort of good backlinks in his space. And then also an outdoor living domain, which we can cover so many different things. So, you know, garden furniture, barbecues, fire pits, outdoor lighting, gazebos, pools, all of that kind of thing. So there's quite a lot of things that we can that you know, you could use that kind of domain for. And then our last one is kind of fashion and lifestyle. So that's kind of what we've managed to pick up recently. We're just getting them written up and published on the site. So if you head over to nichewebsite.builder/domains, you can go and check out those domains that we have available. That's enough of me talking for now. So without further ado, let's get on with the show.
This episode is brought to you by Niche Website Builders, an agency dedicated to helping people just like you build profitable content sites. Niche Website Builders are the hands-off content site marketing agency you always wished existed. It's run by content site marketers for content site marketers, and they help both investors and individuals alike build profitable online properties. They provide a fully outsourced approach to content creation, link building, and done-for-you website builds, the same approach they use on their own six-figure portfolios. For example, their content packages come with a proprietary keyword research process, are written by in-house native English speakers, formatted using templates proven to convert, and uploaded to WordPress with affiliate links added so that all you need to do is hit the publish button. Check them out at nichewebsite.builders/show. That's nichewebsite.builders/show and fill out the form to get coupon codes for 10% more content or a 10% discount on links with your first order sent right to your inbox.
Hello, welcome to the Niche Website Builder Show. Today, I have with me Adam Smith.
Hi.
So, yeah, Adam and I on the podcast today. No particular guest. In particular, external from Niche Website Builders. But we wanted to have a chat today and share our approach to the Google product review algorithm update. So it's been, you know, it came out, well, I don't know how many, what, 4 or 6 weeks ago now, Adam?
Yes, it
was like at the time of recording. So we haven't seen a huge amount of impact on the sites that we work on and we work on for our clients yet. However, you know, I think this is a clear indication from Google that this is going to be important. And over time, you know, it's going to be really important that the reviews that you have on your site are of good quality and are actually going to meet certain criteria and meet certain standards. And having a crappy affiliate site with crappy reviews, like going forward, is just isn't going to work out for you very well. So, we've kind of interpreted the instructions provided, or the guidelines provided by Google, in our own way, and we're going to kind of share how we do that at Niche Website Builders, and hopefully kind of give you kind of some on the ground kind of actionable things to take away from this. But before we get started, how's it all going with you, Adam?
It's good. It's good. We're literally just laughing before we press record. Because we realize my beard looks magnificently ginger in this light. And it's an ongoing joke that my wife convinced me to dye my beard. She said it was dark brown a couple of months back. But when she dyed it, it just turned like black. So like browny blonde hair and just like black beard. So last time she convinced me to dye it, which was a week or two ago, she said, "I've got light brown this time, but it's just like giving me highlights. It's just highlighting the ginger bits." So we've got another dye to go on it again. We're going back dark brown.
But have you?
Not leave it on so long.
Yeah, but you definitely look like one of those.
Say it again.
You should go for a few different colors now, you know, like blue and stuff. But,
yeah. I look like Hulk Hogan. It's just like a line of blackness. Like, and then this is going to sound even worse then, because we were going out on a night out, like one of our first nights out, over a year because of the pandemic. And Jess was sitting next to me. My wife was sitting next to me, and she was putting on fake tan with like these wet white things. And I said, "Oh, pass one here. I'll do my face," and I did my face. And then the next day, I went to get my hair cut, and they trimmed my beard. But they did it with like a cutthroat razor, and because it was dark black, and then they cut it, and then there was no tan there. It was like I had a white line just like going down. It was like brown, white line, black beard.
Yeah. I definitely think you look like, you know, you look like a Lego character with the Lego beard, you know, with the black one for sure. Yeah. I'm looking forward to what turns up next from your beard for the next podcasting. That's that should be a thing, you know. You get a different style and a different color every time you record.
But apart from that, I've just finished closing on a new website. I don't mind sharing the niche with people. I think it's an interesting space, one which I could never have imagined myself getting into, but it's a website all about foxes. but what's interesting about this site is, well, a couple of things are interesting. One, it's an income school website. And I've been specifically looking to buy some of those recently. One, I think there's a couple of quick wins on those types of sites. And also, like, the whole ethos of their approach is to do little to no link building. So I've bought it to add some more content, but also to do link building and try and improve it that way. But it's an interesting site for me because it came with a YouTube channel. And I've, apart from obviously this channel, I've never owned or run a YouTube channel before. And literally, as I was buying it, it just crossed the number of hours viewed and subscriber count to be monetized. But I'm having some problems with that. Basically, when I tried to sign up through to AdSense on there, it said my email address, which I use for everything, is already associated with an AdSense account, and it only gives you the first four characters, and then the rest are starred out, and I don't recognize it. Like, I have no idea what that email address is, or I generally just don't know what it is. And I can't get any help. Like, I've been on the Google forum and you submit your question there and somebody's supposed to come back to you, but I don't know what's going on with it. I don't know what to do with it yet, but it's got a channel which I intend to monetize at some point. And the previous owner had put together almost like an SOP for outsourcing the creation of the videos based on the blog post. So I've got a clear path to creating more videos. I just need to figure out how to monetize them on YouTube now. So
yeah. So the previous owner can't help you with that email address then?
No, he's transferred. The account is now mine. It's my YouTube account. And then when you click the monetize now part, it takes you through the section of, okay, well, you need to connect it to your AdSense account. And it's my AdSense account apparently. I mean, I don't use AdSense. I use Zoic or Medialine or one of the other networks, and they don't rely on your AdSense account. So I mean, I haven't used AdSense for years. So I don't know. It must have been from my shady past when I was doing some other stuff. And I must have set up this other account along the way, like with a burner email address. And I don't know what it is.
Yeah. I think the thing that stood out to me about your new Fox website was the foxes getting intimate on the homepage. That's kind of...
There's a post on the main page about fox breeding, I think it was, the featured image is just two foxes going at it.
Cool. So I'm just in the process of selling website myself. So that was it's actually for the longest standing people that have been following Niche Website Builders even before we were a company, when it was just I was just blogging a case study site about building a site, and the blogs still exist on the Niche Website Builders website, actually. And for anybody who wants to go back, but like, I did a case study site and kind of stopped doing the updates when we started the company, because we just got real busy with that, and stopped actually doing a lot of work on the site. So for the last year, I just haven't really done anything on it, but it's been ticking along at about $1,500 a month. Recently added some more content because I had another site which is a similar niche, and I just kind of ended up merging them together. And so it had 85 posts from one, which is on kind of a different kind of topic area. But that topic area is doing really well. And obviously I've 301 the domain as well. So that's kind of getting some additional traffic, additional authority into the domain. So it's kind of showing a good trend upwards now. So that's good for the new owner. Selling that for around $60,000, currently. So it's just in the process. That should be in this week, hopefully.
That's nice, man. Congrats.
Thanks.
What made you want to sell it now? Because we've talked about this on previous episodes where you know, I'm a prolific buyer and flipper, and you were Mr. Hold for the long term. And you've obviously held this site for a number of years, but like, what made you want to sell it now?
So it's getting on for 2.5 years now, probably, actually, that I've had it. So yeah. I got it started from the beginning. I think it's so like a DR32, something like that at the moment. So I could do some shotgun skyscraper link building over time. It's just that I've kind of got the new plan now, of which I'm kind of working with some informational sites. I'm just trying to build up my portfolio. I'm just passionate about that side of what I'm doing now. And I've neglected this site for long enough, for like 12 months. And it's about time someone else gave it some love. And it's in a good position. It's been like, it's never, ever been affected by any of the Google updates over time. It's just stayed solid and strong. And I figured, you know, rather than, I guess I looked inside myself and decided, do I want to do more with this, or should I hand over the baton to somebody else? It's a good site, but I think I've kind of moved on from that site where I started 2.5 years ago, and just looking to do a few other things now. So it's just the right time for me. And yeah, good for the buyer as well, I think.
Nice. Just in time for the house extension as well, right?
Yeah, hopefully. If we get around to doing that.
Yeah.
Cool. So shall we move on to the Google product review algorithm updates?
So
Google kind of, the difference about this update is like, you know, that Google actually gave it a name for one, and they, you know, very rarely, they actually gave us a, or very uncommon, they actually gave us some guidelines for which to assess our reviews. And, you know, the bad news is they're pretty broad, those guidelines. So this is kind of, we've kind of dissected those and kind of come up with our own plan for how we're going to tackle them. But did you want to talk us through kind of what it was that Google suggested would be good?
Yeah. Yeah, so like you say, it's pretty broad what they've said. So they definitely need some interpretation. But these points are basically the indicators that Google give us of what they're assessing with this update. So the first one is express expert knowledge about products where appropriate, which, you know, hopefully we will be doing anyway. Show what the product is like physically or how it's used with unique content beyond what's provided by the manufacturer. I think they also mean there beyond what's provided by like the Amazon sales page, you know, the little box about features and stuff. Show what the product is like physically or how it's used with unique content beyond. Oh, that's the same one. I'm sorry. There's two. I've copied and pasted this that section twice. Explain what sets a product apart from its competitors. Discuss the benefits and drawbacks of a particular product based on research into it. Describe how a product has evolved from previous models or releases to provide improvements, address issues, or otherwise help users in making a purchase decision. Identify key decision-making factors for the product's category and how the product performs in those areas. For example, a car review might determine the fuel economy, safety, and handling are key decision-making factors and rate performance in those areas. And then the last one is describe the key choices in how a product has been designed and their effects on the user beyond what the manufacturer says. So we'll come on to each one of those individually in a second. But essentially, what they're trying to do with this update is say it's no longer good enough to just take content from the manufacturer's website or, you know, this traditional content that you might find across typically, you know, the top 10, if you put in any kind of best of word and regurgitate it into your own words. They're looking for more depth. They're looking for more insight into, you know, what sets the product apart and more importantly, why. Like, why is this the best one for X, or why is this the best use for the best product for, you know, a particular use case? And then how you lay that out in a particular format, kind of giving us a roadmap here. So we'll basically go on to, well, I think the next part is probably for us to break down each one of those points and give our interpretation, because, I mean, that sounds great. They give you all those things, but like, what does it actually mean in real life when you come to write content? So I think the first one, well, which one do you want to start off with, Mark?
Yeah, so we talk about tone of voice. I think this one's really important. I think this is something that Google can pick up like really easily and really quickly. And we have experience of this historically, right? So when Google kind of targeted the Your Money, Your Life sites in the past, Any of those sites which had like too much kind of sales language got really hit in the update. And it's very easy for Google to identify that. So I guess what I'm saying here is that, you know, if you end up copying the manufacturer's site or just regurgitating what it says on the manufacturer's site, you're going to end up with a lot of kind of salesy kind of words that sound like a sales pitch. So really, you know, what we need to be looking at is changing that wording to use wordings which were more kind of reviews based than sales based. So you might want to use words like, you know, tested, reviewed, compare results, findings, all of those kind of things, which kind of insinuate that you've actually done some sort of assessment of the product and kind of are giving your opinion. Whereas if it's just a copy of the Amazon page or the manufacturer's site, as you said, then it's definitely going to be more sales focused. So I think that I think is really important, that you make sure you kind of make that distinction and make sure you're using the right language when writing the review.
Do you know what's interesting as well? And I only came across this week. I was on a call with a client, and they're not using the Amazon Associates program because in the Amazon Associate program you can't mention how many reviews mm-hmm. a product had, or you know, or anything, or how many, what the star rating is. But these guys were using something totally different, and we were looking at the featured snippets for some of the reviews, and they almost all of the featured snippets mentioned the word review, but actually had, like, you know, these guys are on this company's on Trustpilot, and they've got a 4.5 star across 3,000 reviews, and that stuck out to me. Like, almost all of them had that. It was as if almost Google was looking for that type of information to include in the snippet with the review type keyword. So if you're not using the Amazon program, I think it's important to include that kind of language as well, especially if you're trying to win featured snippets too.
Makes sense.
Yeah. So the next part is key criteria. Now, what we mean by that is basically how we tested and compared the products. Now, I say tested because, you know, we're not like the wire cutter, and most of you, I'm assuming, are not like the wire cutter where you've got the budget to go out and physically buy the products and test them and actually compare them. So, you know, we have to basically come up with a framework to show to Google that in some, or express to Google that we've actually, or looks like that we've actually tested them. And the way that we do that is by saying, you know, what are the common things that this product, what are the commonalities in this product that we can say we've tested? So, for example, if we are testing batteries, it could be, how long do they take to charge? How long does the battery last? What's the lifespan of the battery? Like, the common criteria that we can say that we've tested against all of the products in the review, and how they compared with each other. So it's just a slight change of language, but we basically lay out, these are the key criteria that we think are common across all of the products. This is how we tested them, and this is how they compared.
Yep, totally makes sense. I totally agree. So the next thing is kind of similar. So it's categorizing the product reviews. So again, you know, we're trying to identify what are those key criteria. So and then kind of identifying which products, you know, what, when I say categorizing the product views, what I mean is, what is that product best at? So we kind of try and break it down. So if I give an example, say we're reviewing a coffee machine, it's like, well, which machine is best for creating cappuccinos, and which machine is easiest for cleaning, and which is, you know, the best for a beginner, and things like that. So you kind of want to break it down into kind of different areas. Again, this is kind of trying to give Google and even the reader like some indication that you've kind of done some kind of research and some analysis to work out, you know, where the positive aspects of a certain machine is versus or certain products is versus its competitors. And if you can, it's really good to include some quantitative measurements in there as well. So if you've got some data and statistics kind of to go into that part as well, that's all going to kind of help supplement the kind of research kind of aspect of the review.
Yeah, for sure. I think that the next point is company history. And I think this one is interesting because, I mean, you've got to think, like, why is that important? Like, why is the company history important to a product review, like maybe a best of guide? And I think it's Google trying to add some kind of layer of quality in there. Like, they want you to be recommending products from, you know, companies that are good quality companies. So the fact that they've kind of laid out that they want you to talk about the company history, I think is quite important and shows that they are focusing on quality. So another aspect that we would like to include is, you know, some research on the company and the manufacturer behind the product. Include things like, what's the company's reputation? How has the brand developed over time, or how has it changed? And by including that, I mean, it doesn't have to be a massive aspect of the review, but by including that, I think it goes a long way to pushing you, like, above and beyond your average review or what your competitors are doing. I mean, we don't typically see competitors writing about company history when they're doing a best of guide, for example. But now that Google has given us the roadmap, we know that we need to include it.
Yeah, I think so. And I think it's just the other thing, by including that, it just, again, demonstrate the company history is not something that you're going to see on the specific product review page on the company's product page on the website. And again, on Amazon, you're not going to see that. This is kind of additional stuff. And again, kind of just shows, indicates somewhat that you're doing something different to just regurgitating the specification of the product. Just to say, on this point as well, like, this is kind of really helps our writers with the writing. Actually, although we're kind of adding in more layers of stuff here, it breaks it down into, like, nice little sections. Actually, of kind of, okay, you've got to review the company history. That's kind of easy kind of task to go off and do, and then come back and kind of. The next step on from that is we try to talk about the product evolution as well, which is something that's kind of mentioned in the guidelines. So, we take some time to talk about, you know, why is this product the best in the category for which we've chosen it to be in? And how has that product evolved over time? What feedback have the company taken between the evolution of one product version to the next product version? And what steps have they taken to address some of those issues and improve the product, and where is it standing, you know, against its competitors and things like that? And, you know, how long has it been established? So, similarly to the company history, we talk a little bit about the history and the evolution of the product as well.
I think one thing to mention there, though, is that that's not always possible. Like, if you're reviewing dinner plates, for example, I mean, they don't have a dinner plate version 2.0 or anything, so it applies to some niches or some products, but not to all that
one. Beard dye, maybe.
And then leading on from that, the next part, which we've been trying to do, we've been doing this anyway, but essentially it's talking about your experience. And I say, again, experience in inverted commas, because we don't handle the product, and probably most of you don't handle the product. But our takeaway from that is to talk about the benefits rather than just the features. So we always tell our team, you know, feature, benefit, not just feature. So rather than saying, you know, this light as a, this bulb as a, is a 1,000 megawatt bulb, like, why is that beneficial for you? Why is that a good thing? Why is that a bad thing? Like, you don't just want to say it's got this feature. You then want to say, well, it's got this bulb, but it's great for camping because it allows you to illuminate the whole tent, and you only need one light to do rather than three torches, for example, or whatever that is. But with this update, and that used to be fine, but with this update, you want to try and take it a little bit further as well. So feature, benefit, and then experience. But I say experience again in inverted commas. So, you know, things like, how does the product make you feel, or how has it helped you achieve your goals, or, you know, how do you feel when you use the product? Is it aesthetically pleasing? How does it improve your life? So you've got feature, benefit, and then experience. And I think the new add-on is that last part of the experience, which can be tricky if you've not held the product or used the product. But this is where I think a good quality content writer can come in, because they can read, you know, what's on the manufacturer's page or the reviews on the Amazon page, and then they can turn that into talking about the experience. They can put themselves in the shoes of someone who's written the review on Amazon and said, you know, I love the way this felt in my hands, and I did X, Y, Z with it. Well, that's great, because now they can talk about that as an experience in the review.
Yeah, absolutely. And again, kind of moving on from that in a similar kind of vein, talking about pros and cons. Now, pros and cons is probably something that's been in everyone's product review ever. That's just something that everybody tends to include. Not everybody, but like most people. And we should have been. And we've always seen that does well by including the pros and cons. And also making sure that you do include cons and not just pros, because, you know, it's just the positive. You need to show the flip side as well. But in terms of the pros and cons now going forward, we kind of adapted them slightly. And again, we're talking about the experience. We're not talking about the pros and cons of the features themselves. Instead, we're trying to highlight the key benefits and the drawbacks, you know, from an experience point of view. So, you know, if we talked about, you know, how does it make you feel, or how does it help you achieve your goals? Well, if it didn't help you achieve your goals, or it hindered you achieving your goals, then that's kind of something you want to mention there as a con, not that X feature you didn't have X feature. So again, we're just trying to use that wording around the experience of using the product rather than just talking about the features and specification again.
Yeah. And then the last part, which is similar to what you would typically expect in a best of guide, is a buyer's guide. And usually that comes at the end. And basically it's the way you round off now. So you say, you kind of sum up all of the key features and criteria that are important for choosing the product for that plan's specific purpose. So it's not just a generic piece, it's specifically for the title of the article. And then another thing that we always include in the buyer's guide, which I think is becoming more and more important, is FAQs, frequently asked questions. I know we talked a lot about FAQs, and we've got our own FAQ service where we can, you know, if you've got existing content that doesn't have FAQs, you can go back and add FAQs. But, you know, FAQs essentially allow us to add more depth to the article. I mean, there's only so much you can talk about in terms of like what the key features are and how you chose them and why they're important. And then, you know, the FAQs allow us to add a little bit more substance and talk about, you know, the related informational based topics that are to do with whatever the best of guide is. You can use a couple of different like tools and software to pull them out. You can use Answer the Public or Also Asked. You can also just Google the keyword or related keywords and look for questions in the People Also Asked box or the related search box at the bottom of Google. And then that way you're getting it directly from the horse's mouth, as it was. And then the other benefit, obviously, of FAQs is that you can mark them up with FAQ schema. And then should your buyer's guide get onto page one, then it'll activate the FAQ box. Google literally, was it last week or the week before, changed how many FAQ snippets they show on the homepage, on the front page, from 3 to 2. So you get slightly less real estate space now, but I still think it's well worth doing. And it makes yours, especially if you're one of the only ones on page one with that box, it just makes your listing stand out a little bit more. We've got some data which shows people that the click-through rate is higher when we have that box on there. And, you know, whether we believe it or not, a higher click-through rate typically will signal to Google that your content's better than whoever's above you and hopefully give you a little bit of a boost in the rankings too.
Awesome. So I think that about wraps it up. That's kind of, you know, how we're tackling it. We've kind of brought together a template for how we do that internally. We've also written this up into like a downloadable document on our site. So if you head over to nichewebsite.builders/resources, then you will find a downloadable PDF, essentially, which kind of covers all the stuff we've spoken about in a little bit more detail on the podcast. There's also a couple of other guides in there that we've added, and we'll probably be adding some more over time. So the other ones that we have is how to assess, how to do due diligence on an expired domain. And the other one is how to increase your RPM or EPMV, depending on which metric you're using, if you're running ads on your site. So how do you, without actually adding more content or doing any more work, like how do you manage to increase the revenue you can get from your ads? So,
yeah. And I think just to add to that, I think like both of those are like from our real world experience as well. I see lots of like guides and cheat sheets out there, like which aren't based on real experience. I mean, we vet expired domains every day, so let me know what that is. And then only the beginning of this year, I was on Dagger's podcast recently talking about basically how I implemented everything in our how to improve your RPM guide, and sold a website and made like $18,000 profit in 38 or 39 days or something. It's literally like 10 hours worth of work. And it's the exact same process pretty much that I followed from this guide. So they're not generic guides or, you know, top level stuff. They're proper in-depth stuff that we use ourselves.
Awesome. So yeah, nichewebsite.builders/resources. I think we just about covered everything off there, Adam. But yeah, thanks for that. Actually, really enjoyed that. It was a good chat. And I guess we'll just sign off and say goodbye till next time.
Yeah. I don't know how we end this now. Do we just say goodbye? Like, so, yeah, see you next time?
Like, I don't know. Maybe answers on a postcard, like how we should end like the episode when it's kind of awkward like it is now.
I guess the other thing to say is like, you know, we've come up with this topic ourselves, but we're always looking for more ideas about things that you guys want us to talk about. So if you've got an idea or you know, you've got something specific you'd like us to talk about, where it's just me and Mark, like kind of going back and forth around the specific topic, then just let us know. Either mention in the comments or shoot us an email or send us a Facebook message or go on the website. You've got the little Facebook chat in there and just let us know.
Right. Yeah. We look forward to that. Actually, that'd be good. If somebody else comes up with some ideas, nice. That'd be awesome. We're happy to do that. Cool. All right. Okay. So thanks again for listening and speak soon.
Cheers, Mark.
Thanks again for tuning in, and I hope you enjoyed the show. If you're listening to the podcast version of this episode, please subscribe on iTunes or wherever you listen to your podcasts. Please rate and review, as this will allow us to grow our audience and create more shows like this one. If you're watching on YouTube, please subscribe to the channel and click on the bell to be the first to know about any new episodes that we release. Until the next episode, goodbye.